phases, but it was recognized that The solution that we are contracting now requires all three phases, whereas you might have enough budget for the first phase and second, but you won't be able to cover. We don't have enough budget for all the phases. That's when it took a while then to finally decide to cancel that contract. Now, as a contract, there was a lot of discussion. Maybe that's why we ended up having to require that kind of investigation. But the contract was signed in such a manner that the arbitration of it had to take place in an international tribunal. We call it international tribunal, I think, which probably did then take place, and the department, after all the discussion, debate, and representation, the department was found then to be liable for this amount in order to avoid finally getting into an expenditure of more than $1 billion. We felt that at that point in time, for the department to cut costs, as it were, cut losses, we were then going to settle for this amount that the honorable member has indicated, of about 307 million rand. Since this has been reported before, we, as it has been indicated, in such as the accounting officer immediately report such an incident to the National Treasury, which was done. Yes, the investigation had to take place in terms of the decision-making process in the Department of Defense, which can be a very long decision-making process from the unit to the chief of the services, to the chief of the SMGF, all the way to the accounting officer for such contracts to be executed, before such contracts. So we had to investigate all of those processes in terms of which official, who should have recognized from the beginning that all three phases are not covered in the budget and that we will not be able to afford. But I am happy to report that all of that, we ended up instituting a forensic audit. That forensic audit has been completed. It has come up with recommendations, and we are now in the process of implementing the recommendations of that audit, of that forensic audit report. And we are following the internal processes of the DOD and the Public Service Act to ensure that action then is taken, as Honorable Smith has indicated, against the responsible official or officials.
Yeah, Mongaba, if you can also just keep the committee through the chairperson updated on the progress thereof, I sure will be grateful for that. Let me then move on to, I've done the irregular and so on, and I've touched that. So let me just go to the governance of this department, and I'm glad the internal, I mean the audit committee is here. You know, the auditor generally saying, chair of the audit committee via, through the secretary, that there is, for one, I mean, at worst, there is no internal audit capacity in that department. It's dysfunction. That's what the AG is saying to us. It's totally dysfunction. My question, therefore, to you as the audit committee is, what have you done to bring that to the management's attention? And has the management cooperated? You see, all these things that the secretary is talking about, it's all because of the lack of internal systems. And that is the function of the internal audit. And your function, we pay you to oversee the internal audit. And I asked the Auditor General, and I'm saying it again to the Auditor General, it can't be a paper exercise that we set up an audit committee. Because in his words, the reason why you guys are not operating optimally is because internal audit doesn't exist. That's his document that he sent us. And I rubbish that. There's no way that the Auditor General can come and say to me, you are dysfunctional because internal audit is dysfunctional. Who then is he complaining about? So I'm asking you as the Audit Committee, through you, Chair and Secretary, what is your assessment of internal audit now? Because I know you're talking about the history. What is your assessment of internal audit now, and what are you doing to strengthen it? Otherwise, let's get another Audit Committee. Simple as all that. let's get another audit committee because you guys are not doing what you are expected to do. So can you, I don't know how it's going to be done, whether he's going to do it or he's going to do it, sir. But I just want to sense, is the internal audit functional now? Is the audit committee up to it to oversee the internal audit? Please, Chair.
I think maybe let's hear from the chairperson of the audit committee first. And then we can then hear from the Secretary for Defense. Because as you outline when you're giving context, having an internal audit, functional internal audit and audit committee, these are legal requirements. They are not a matter of choice whether you need them or you don't. But let's hear. The picture we have is not a good one. Why did it happen? How did it happen? What was the situation? What is the situation?
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Honourable Member. First and foremost, let me say in our audit committee report, we did indicate that we agreed with the assessment of the Auditor General vis-à-vis the effectiveness of internal audit. And we did express our great concern because it limited us in terms of our role, in terms of the internal audit providing the key assurance not only to the audit committee but to management, to the AG and other stakeholders. What we have done is we have been continuously involved with management, making recommendations as to the way forward. It has been in our discussions, in our audit committee meetings, in our in committee meetings for the internal audit with management, etc. However, in terms of combined assurance, we were able to get some assurance from management as well as from the AG. However, I'm happy to report that although this has been a long and difficult road, we are seeing some progress at this point in time. In terms of the capacitation of the unit, in terms of the planning by internal audit, in terms of their report, which we have been missing all along. During our last meeting, which was last week, it was indicated in the minutes that we acknowledge those reports by internal audit. However, they have not been fully finalized because of discussions that still to be made between the head of internal audit and management. And we resolved in that meeting to hold a special meeting where we look at those reports, we look at the final plan, but we did apply our minds to those draft reports. And it was minuted that we did indicate, we acknowledge that progress, we acknowledge the quality of those reports, but we are waiting to hear the responses from management and take that process forward.
Do you want to make a follow-up on him, or should I?
No, I'll make a follow-up, but maybe they both can answer it.
Right.
Just on the basis of that.
Okay. Right.
Because my question really was, how healthy is it now? We're talking about a financial year end that is 12 months old. We're talking about stuff that was 2014. We are now in March 2015. And you're saying to me that your minutes of last week's meeting says that we haven't quite finalized. In other words, it's still a work in progress. If I'm understanding you correctly, that it's still a work in progress. Then I'm asking the Christian Chairperson, if it's still a work in progress, a year later, we've got Gloria here that is internal audit, and she would know because we worked with the Honourable Member when she was a member. We championed this thing that internal audit is the lifeblood of a committee, or of a department. It's the lifeblood. Why do we take 12 months to fill it up? Is it a lack of skills in South Africa? is it that we don't have enough people? What is it? And we've been saying this, I chair correctional services. We've been saying to correctional services, go into the market, go to this, and you will find DCOM students who can do this type of thing. What is the problem? Why is it taking us a year to strengthen internal audit? Why is it taking us a year? Really, it's a year later on, and we can't sit here and you say to me that you are still worried about whether it is fully capacitated. It's not acceptable. It's just not acceptable.
Thank you, sir. Where are we and why has it taken us this long? Why did you not even have it in the first place?
I'll start by thanks for the message. I'll start by answering the question why it has taken us this long, and then secondly answer the question where are we today. Historically, in our department, in terms of our audit function, we were governed by both the Defense Act that calls for the establishment of the Inspector General who maintains the internal controls, SOPs, standards and procedures as an Inspector General. So you have an Inspector General division that is composed maybe of about more than 100 officials responsible for auditing and compliance specifically with the Defense Act, but also with the PFMA. And then when on one side you have the second law, which is the PFMA. So as an accounting officer, when we came into the environment, we found ourselves that we have a fully capacitated Inspector General for compliance, and we have a struggling this side internal audit that is hardly compliant with the PFMA. The first thought within the management was that PFMA, as one of these two laws, as an accounting officer, must make sure compliance with both laws, Defense Act and PFMA. That PFMA is paramount when it comes to this. Therefore, move all your staff from Inspector General. It doesn't mean that there was no audit work being done, no monitoring and evaluations of all the internal controls and performances, as well as the monitoring evaluation of compliance with the laws, as such, was not happening. It was happening, but it was happening under the Inspector General's division. Now, when we said transfer all the competencies and capacities within the Inspector General into internal audit in compliance with PFMA, engaging with the chief of the SANDF, because later on, realized that will not be the best solution for this department. This department is governed by Defense Act and PFMA. It has to ensure that Defense Act monitor evaluation internal controls are in place and monitored by the Inspector General and PFMA by the internal audit. And I said we must establish a fully functioning internal audit according to the PFMA. And then the CFO at that time indicated that in terms of budget, we are now duplicating. These are all compliance units, these are all quality assurance, and then, of course, it took us a while to finally carry it up, but I finally carried it up and said, no, this is not duplication, and where I'm sitting, I will need most compliance with both PFMA, I need compliance with the Defense Act, and I am going to have an internal audit fully functional, just as the Inspector General. This issue of saying that the internal audit works going to be done by the Inspector General is not on. So I need a budget for it. So we have now, that's why it took us such a long time, because it was migration first, then we stopped it and said, no, we hold forces and establish a fully functional separate internal body unit. Okay. In terms of where we are then, we are now in the process of fully functioning the internal audit, and I think as it's been indicated, I can even go further than that, that as of this financial year now that is currently running, the internal audit is functioning, is running. I can only complain because on my part, I might not have been satisfied. But as you said, I would have liked to have filled up by now 35% post of the competent people recruiting the BCOMs, and the young people are coming into the department to assist us. But I've only recruited 27, so I'm 27 out of 35. I'm not 100% happy, but I think we can assure the committee, honorable member, that the capacity is being reinforced through the internal audit, quality assurance, and that the work of the internal audit is now getting where we want it to be. If I can say that, are we where we want to be yet? I would say no, but almost there, sir.
Thanks. Let us just strengthen your hand, Secretary. You've got your acting commissioner. I mean the CFO. If the CFO was here, I would have looked him in the eye and asked him the question, how can you raise this thing of duplication? Because he was the CFO at Correctional Services. He was the CFO. I don't understand how we can ask the question about whether there should be an internal audit or whatever. So we are saying to you, actually, that thing doesn't arise. He is correct. There must be an internal audit. We can't have an argument about whether it should be there or not, because it takes preference when it comes to financial meetings. So I'm strengthening your hand up. That shouldn't be a debate about whether that is. And if that young man was here, we would have told him. Secondly, let me just say this, because I know where he is. Sizom Chol. Let me say to you that you know where we come from. We have to account to our constituencies, ladies and gentlemen. And half of my constituency there is over Western. I'll get you the 25 BCOMs that you want. It can't be a problem. So I'm surprised, or I'm not surprised. Next time you come with your HR manager, Nimbus, Gucci. It can't be a problem to get a BCOM. It can't be. I'm saying to you, in Westbury, I will get you 25 BCOMs today. And your guys work, one of them. Or Dango and them. Tell them that I'm saying this to you, because I want you to tell them that we are serious about oversight. We've raised this thing with them, we are raising it with you. It can't be that we don't have BCOMs in South Africa. It can't be. So if you have a problem, we'll get them for you. And we'll clear them if we need to clear them as well. So let's move on to page 198 and just ask a simple question. We're not always so troublesome, Secretary. We're not always so troublesome. But my boss there in the corner, Yami Boy, said I must be ruthless. So, and my boss there said I must be ruthless. I'm not necessarily always ruthless. You know, two questions there. We have 26 million, I think it is, if I'm reading it correctly. We have legal costs here of 26 million rand on consultants. Consultants is a swear word in my life. We've got 26 million rand of consultants legal costs. And just now you said to us, Bob, that we went to some international tribunal and we had to come back with our tails between our legs. Because to continue would have meant that it wouldn't be just 300 million, it would have been more. And now you're paying somebody 26 million rand to put us in a situation where we come back with our tails between our legs. Can't be. And the second question that I want to raise with you is, I wonder how much of this 26 million is given to white companies and not black companies, because part of our agenda is to capacitate the state and everybody else. So you're giving people consultants. I have a problem with consultants. But if you're giving consultants and you can't even say that you are transforming our economy, then you're going to face a serious problem from this committee. So my question is, what is? And I would understand that you guys have lots of legal stuff, but 26 million rand for consultants for legal costs. Is it not better for us to get a competent legal committee inside? Is it not competent at this point to have a legal database for the entire government? You see, unfortunately, I've served in all these committees. What is the your previous, the CEO that you have now will tell you that I said this. His department had legal costs more than this. And when we talk to the unions say to us, we don't have a problem here. we don't have a problem. We go to court because every court case that we've gone to with government departments, we win it. That's what the union say to us. We want all these things because Labantu Laba don't know what they're doing. And then I must sit as a member of the ANC and listen to this from union people and not do anything to you. It can't be. It can't be. So my question here is, what constitutes that legal cost of 26 million rand? And is it value for money? And then we've got contractors, and I asked the Auditor General to give me a copy. The next line has got contractors of 2 billion rand, 2.5 billion rand. It's made up of maintenance of aircraft helicopters. It's made up of maintenance of Navy vessels. Maybe I can understand that. It's made up of maintenance of vehicles and handling equipment, maintenance of repairs to medical equipment, communications equipment. Those make up your contracting cost of 2.6 billion rand. Just a simple question, guys, again. Is it not going to assist South Africa as the Navy or as the Army or as the Defense generally for us to try and get those people, train them, and let be part of their conscription? Because we're saying that about everybody else. We always get emails saying, we are looking for so many people in the Navy, for this, so many people for that. I understand the aircraft and whatever, but all these other things, motor mechanics. Can't we get people and teach them to be motor mechanics? Fencing. Test rangers. Fire control equipment. Can't we get people in South Africa, young boys and girls, train them, employ them full-time so that we don't give this thing to consultants? I'm just posing that here. I think I wanted to make the point that consultants of 2 billion rand for things that can be done in-house, or even if it's not done in-house, let us then create jobs, because that's part of the state of the nation. Let us create jobs. That's what the president is talking about, and we need you guys to be the catalyst for that. So could you then just explain the legal cost for me? The other one, I just wanted to raise it because for Hansa, you must know that we've got a problem with consultants to the tune of 2.6 billion rand. But what is the legal cost about? And are we satisfied that our legal department is capacitated, or do we always have to go out and get legal advice?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. And I know that Honorable Smith says that maybe in terms of the consultants that we have was not a key question. The key question is on the legal consultants. But through you, Chairperson, I did want to highlight that when we are being cited in the media as the biggest user of consultants in government of 2.5 billion, it hurts a little bit because, or maybe not a little bit, it has, in a sense that it gives an impression that we are people in the Department of Defense who don't do their work, but instead are paying 2.5 billion to the consultants out there to come and advise us. So I have a request from the committee that next year, if they can ask the National Treasurer and the Auditor General, that they must break down these consultants and not go to the media and say 2.5 billion for consultants. These are the people who are fixing our aircraft. I don't know how to fix a aircraft. I don't think I have a soldier that knows how to fix an aircraft. But I hear you when you say, why don't I train my soldiers? But can't they actually say that this is the vehicles, these vehicles that have to be maintained, the aircraft that need to be maintained, and the ships that need to be maintained, that is, we run a medical service for the South African Military Health Services, that we have to pay the doctors, we have three hospitals, Bloemfontein, Cape Town, and Pretoria. Outside that, they have to go to the private consultancies. That is not to say that the biggest user of consultants in government is the Department of Defense of 2.5 billion. Please have mercy on our souls and ask the Auditor General to assist when this thing goes to the media to say, by the way, the Department of Defense has to pay for the repairs of these vehicles. But also to say we have heard your cry of creating jobs. We have, I've signed a contract now, as you might have seen in the Sunday papers, of recruiting the humans to come and train our soldiers. why the Cubans and not the engineers, because of the cost of it. Each time when I go for this, and it's also to try and reduce the consultant services. So in terms of the army vehicles, I hope that within the next year or two, next 2 or 3 years, I would have built enough capacity within the army, within the defense force, within, so that I can have the mechanics. I would even recruit youngsters who are finishing their tricks right now to come and get that kind of basic training as they join the defense force, because not everybody in the defense force is to be deployable. You, Honorable Chairperson, rightly so, correctly so, also talked about the issue of the maintenance of our facilities. I mean, the contractors are being consulted not to advise us, but to maintain our facilities. We have established now the defense works formation so that we can take away the work from the public works into us. Because when we engage the public works to say maintain the hospital, maintain the military base, maintain this, it goes out as consultant fees to public works to engage in terms of that referral. So now we're saying let's take it over so that the soldiers, you know that when you reach my age as a soldier, no longer deployable. So at least you can deploy me then into the defense works formation so that I can start being your bricklayer, your maintenance, your pipe and your electrician and so forth, if, as a member of the defense force, then we can create, we can build jobs, and then it's going to be up to us to engage with the National Treasury and Court in general whether these people are ranked as members of the defense force or they're ranked as members of the Department of Defense. Because remember, we have two sections. We have public service employees, about 12,000, and we have defense force employees, about 78,000. So you can then help us, advise us in terms of how do we place these. Do they come in under the Public Service Act or they come in under the Defense Act? Either way, they are South Africans, they come in, build employment. So I thought that I just want to appeal. Otherwise, you're going to invite me for next year to come and talk about the 2.5 billion consultants, because I'm not going to change. That's not going to change in 1 year. You might as well invite me now to come and talk about 2.5 billion consultants for next year, if what the government does not change the way they categorize these consultants.
Thanks. Thanks, Rob. I think I hear your points, and Mr. Wheeler is here. Some of us will engage with the Auditor General. I hear the point that maybe consultants is a broad term.
I hear what the department is saying, but I'm not sure if the Auditor General could say it any other way than to say it is consulting. It is consulting. However, there is explanation to it, which must be given, and which the Secretary has done. So I thought you would then move to the legal part. I would request that, because I thought that was the fundamental question. But if it's okay, let's clarify that part, let's deal with the legal aspect, the 26 million.
Before he can get there, so that we combine them. The 26 million rand is what we're saying we paid. But on page 119, we wrote off legal costs of 14 million rand. You see this thing, like I said, I want to marry these things. The right hand is paying lots of money, the left hand is writing off lots of money. Here they get on here in this department. What is going on? I'm referring here to...
119,
write-offs, other material write-offs, note 5.1. You see that one of the write-offs in the department is legal fees for 15...
Is it
119
or 191?
199, I'm sorry. It's Tuesday, I'm sorry, 199. I apologize to everybody, sorry, it's 199. And it's note 5.1. I'm trying to marry the two, sir. On 198, we pay legal costs of 26 million on 4.3. That's consultants' costs and so on. The next page, we write off 15 million there. Now, these are all legal costs. I'm assuming it's all one department. So I'm just trying to understand, and I'm not pointing a finger at anybody. I'm trying to understand what is going on here. What is going on here? Let me tell you, you see where I come from, and some of these colleagues here would know. Where in Gauteng, where we come from, we conceptualize this thing called a javelin. You know, when I'm this side, I throw it, I run that side, yeah, bam. ngiyayibamba bayazi ne.
So I give consultants fees this time. On the next day, I go and write it off. I go and write it off. It's a problem, madam. It's a problem, ma'am. It's a problem. Okay, so first of all, as I ask in terms of, please explain it, can you also give us the names of who those consultants were that you paid on page 198 and who the consultants were and why that you wrote off in 199? Because if I think the reasons for writing them off are serious enough, we must blacklist them. Never use them in government. Not just in you. We'll never use them in government. We want to know who they are so that we can start advocating that these people cost us so much, don't ever use them in government. And we've got the power to do that. So if they could give us who they were paying, for what, and who they wrote off for what. If they can't give it, and I know they couldn't give it us now, Chair, so maybe let me defer that to a written question as opposed to an oral question. And if you allow that, I'll go to my very last one.
But maybe let's check with them. Find that they're able to talk to us. But if you can't, then we can defer the detail.
No, thanks very much. We will defer the detail, but just to highlight that the 80% of the legal fees was to the Reggie Commission. That is the arms, not arms deal, it's armament acquisition process that is Senate Commission, and we had to pay, but we'll give the details in writing.
You're going to see the back of me. This is my very last one, Chair, then I'll hand over to colleagues. Page 202 would be my last one, Chair. And staff debtors. You know, Sokela is very, he's lucky he's not here. Umjele, which is lucky he's not here, you know? You know, all these things that are here, we crucify Sokela for them. Maybe that's why he left and came to you guys. Maybe that's why. I don't understand this thing of staff debtors, Matok. I don't understand staff debtors, Honorable Boy. You know, I understand government gives housing loans, and I can accept that debt is a debt. Maybe we must talk about it later on, because these members here don't get allowances to buy houses and so on, and yet you get it. But maybe that's. But you get staff loans and even student fees. Maybe it's good because you send people to varsity and so on. But a motor vehicle accident, loss of state money, damage of state property, miscellaneous, all those things are staff debts. So can somebody just explain to me, for instance, I'm just taking the one, loss of state money. Is the staff debt meaning that Simkosile Lomunduro, and we are waiting for his pension to reclaim our money from his pension, or is a staff debt because he cost us something, he's still in the employ? What are you doing about it? This is loss of state money. This is not what. This is loss of state money. Go lose money at IBM and tell me what they're going to do to you at IBM. Go lose money at Checkers and tell me what they're going to do to you at Checkers. But you lose money in the state and we say it's fine, we're going to give you an invoice to pay us back. It can't be. It certainly cannot be that this is. So the first question that I'm asking again, Chair, is again on this one. If they can give us an ACE analysis, and we know that it's sensitive. I know that the Chairperson, because I've worked with him for many years, will treat these matters with the necessary whatever. But I would like, Chair, that we say that it's personnel number one, it's Vincent Smith, and he owes us so much. Don't go into the public. If it does go into the public, blame me and blame Gordy. But please send it to him, because we must root out those people that, what do you call this thing? Serially corrupt on one hand. Babalega, they resurface in another department. They create problems there, they resurface in another department as something else. And the only way we can do it is to begin to trace them. So who are these people? And scope, as long as I'm here, I'm going to begin at name and shame. I can assure you, we're going to name and shame Labanzela.
we are going to name and say that no, Comrade Vincent or Vincent Smith did this in defense, Monday is resurfacing in correctional services. Can't be. So if they can get just a sense of what is that loss of state money and an age analysis of that debt. And again, say I, because I'm ambushing honorable members, honorable colleagues from the department, they might not have come with all the detail. I would be happy if they give it to us in writing so that it can form part of our resolutions which will happen in the future. But if they could talk to us about that state debt and what is this loss of state money? I just want to understand the concept. What is the loss of state money and what is the problem? What is the problem with loss of state money? Why don't we just arrest him and take his house? I saw William of Mayor traveling with me yesterday on the plane. The SIU attaches, I mean, Assets Forfeiture Unit attaches. Why can't we attach? Why can't we attach? We're not running a sponsor shop here. We are playing with taxpayers' money and accounting officer, I want to repeat. The context of this hearing is that the buck stops with the accounting officer. If I'm not satisfied, when I say I'm saying Parliament. If Parliament is not satisfied that you're not doing things correctly and they're slipping through because of negligence or lack of political will or otherwise, then maybe we must take it a step further, Jefferson, and say, what now? Because the power is within our hands. The PFMA gives us the right to do it. Maybe we should be saying, what now? And it was in that context that I was asking these questions, Chair. And to say to my good friend, the accounting officer, you are lucky that you're the first because you took the brunt. Other people are going to be worse. Labantu Laba will now know how to deal with scopers going forward. But if this is bad, wait until you come back next year.
Thank you, Comrade Smith. Very deliberately allowed you to. I'll give the secretary to say something and then I will check with comrades if they have follow up questions on defense before we move to comrades board on military veterans.
Well, thanks very much. Just to assure the committee that this is a matter of great concern in the office of the accounting officer. We have set in place to utilize all the available capacity on our side to act on these cases. Here we're talking about the cases of theft and the cases of embezzlement of funds by the people who have been put in responsibilities of distributing the funds and the allocation of our budget throughout the country in terms of cash flows and cash analysis. As you know, at the Department of Defense, we have a footprint all the way to Saldanha Bay, to Musina, to Matubatuba, to borders with Namibia and Botswana, where we have to get, and sometimes even in our deployment outside the country. As we remember that, I think in one of our budget votes, the minister praised one of a female finance official, which was actually a white female finance official, who was there with the troops in the Central African Republic, who actually took a cash of more than $1 million from the base in Central African Republic to the airport and accounted for each and every penny of it. So we do have some employees who are really committed, patriotic, and also with impeccable integrity within the Department of but other than that, there are rotten apples as well. And we are dealing with them. I have at our disposal the defense intelligence that helps us to investigate. We have the military police that helps us to engage in the inspector general. And we do refer these cases to the police. I would think I'll also give down the breakdown, please, CFO, of all the cases we have referred for asset forfeiture. But we first refer to the police for prosecution. And then it is in that process. We do get frustrated sometimes with the period and the time it takes for these cases to remain in the police files and in the police custody. So, yes, we are sharing that concern, and also just to highlight that I have no intention to coming back next year after hearing what we have said.
Okay. Comrades, we have about 40
Chair, thank you. Secretary, just I'm going to give you the questions and then you can respond. The first question was regarding the 303 million rand contract that was cancelled. Can you please provide some information as to what that was for, first of all? Then secondly, how long have you had the forensic audit report? And has that report been presented to the Portfolio Committee? And if it hasn't, and if that was reported, if we're talking about the same case, I have information that that report was released in July 2014. So the question is, if that is the same report, and if it isn't, I'll refer to it later. If it's the same report, why is it taking so long from July 2014 to act decisively on it up to where we are now? So it's what was it for, and exactly why the implementation is taking so long. The next question I have is, we have in our possession a list of all the irregular expenditure incurred by the department, which I can assume only emanates from the Department of Defense. It was provided to us through our information by our secretariat. That list, it includes the just over 1 billion rand for the salary increases, which you've explained, but it includes the remainder is a whole long list of, a shopping list of regular expenditure. In the action column of that particular list, there is a lot of under investigation. Question I have is how long under investigation in each of those matters. I understand you might not have that information now. It's a long list. How long have they been under investigation? And then the other interesting part on that list is comments of TBC. Could you advise what TBC means in that particular list? To be confirmed. Well, to be confirmed that the regular expenditure happened. Okay, so in other words, under investigation. So could you please give us clarity on that list? You know, you could have an item under investigation for the last 3 years. We need to have an age analysis of how long it's under investigation. Because if we don't say, right, it's been under investigation for 3 months now, in 3 months it must be done, it can just forever to be under investigation. And I find it ludicrous if you just told me, you just say TBC, to be confirmed whether it was irregular expenditure, then that's also under investigation. So please, we need clarity on that. Then I come to something I find incredibly concerning, right, is that...
Maybe let's make that the last question so they can respond.
All right, I shall. This will be my last question, Chair. The issue of the use of outside contractors. Whatever the explanation, Secretary, with all due respect, it still points to a massive lack of capacity in the Defence Force. And I have to concur with my colleagues here. There is a massive lack of capacity. And I'm even more worried when I hear that we are bringing Cubans in to train. When we have many, many members of the ex-SANDF that are still in the country, still looking for work, and are forced to go and find work elsewhere in the world to fight other people's wars, we can't contract them. I know there's history, Secretary, but many of those old members have reformed their views and can come and work for us. Why are we bringing Cubans in? Water and sanitation, also bringing 34 Cuban water engineers. Why are we not employing our own people? Does that, and then the part of the question I asked you is, I read recently that there was going to be an increase in the an alteration of the equity arrangements regarding white employees in the SADF is going to be doubled. Is that part of that? That we're bringing in skilled older members to come and train? But the point is, we can explain as much as you want about having to bring people in. We've got a massive capacity problem. And is that as a result of us getting rid of people to sort out equity issues? And are we starting to see that, you know, hang on a second, let's get the right people to train our people so that we can move forward. But please, I need your response to that. Thank you.
All right. Secretary, briefly. Yeah, no, I want him to respond, then I'll come back to you. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much. The contract that we are talking about then will be a contract for the acquisition of a solution of aviation medicine. As you know, that when you are training the pilots, you have to subject them to various graded gravities. As I'm sure you have heard of a number of aircraft accidents that were caused by disorientation of pilots while in flight. And training then has to engage these gravitational graded gravitational training in various aviation medicine, which we don't have that capacity inside the country. Even now, we send our pilots outside sometimes for this kind of purposes. So that was basically the contract that ended up being too expensive to afford. The forensic audit report then did come in. I think the first draft of it ran about that time that honorable members indicated, July or August. That if I did need it first to be processed in by giving the people quoted in that audit report a chance to respond and to for verifications of various findings, which involved different people at different phases of deployment, so it did take a while, but I'm happy to say that process has been now finally concluded, and we are at the process of implementing those recommendations. When it comes to the, when you say to be confirmed whether a certain expenditure is irregular, I think it is true that we have run the workshops throughout the country. As you know, we have the units, as we have indicated, deployed throughout the country. Sometimes when certain products and services, this might have been products and services that might have been acquired through, for instance, when we talk about the wet foods, the dry foods, and we have a national contract that is existing, people, companies, service providers in the database, and then you have to get quotations from the various, and it finally comes through. And at the next level of internal controls might come in and say this was irregular because it came from that company, not from that company, not realizing that actually it was not irregular at all because it followed the processes of three-way quotation. So, for instance, if I'm your supervisor, and you've chosen company A, and I like company B, I'll say to you, this is irregular. You shouldn't have taken company A, company B. By the time you come back and find that actually, you know, there's nothing wrong here. It is not irregular at all. So we do get that kind of information coming through, and then you put down to be confirmed. And the investigation, I think that's what it's referring to, that some of these processes do take longer than we would like, and it's just the nature of the department. It's such a complex Department of Defense. When I say that, I know I get hauled out to the coal fires and so forth because they say you are an accounting officer, you can't say your department is complex. But at the end of the day, the processes themselves, they do take time, and I'm going to ask now my management team to look at the list and give the age analysis of those and the breakdown of those irregular expenditures that have been cited.
I think in relation to that one, maybe if we could Congress agree that we'll get continuous feedback on progress on each of the identified cases. So give us an age analysis, send it to us in writing. Distribute it to members so that when you now send us feedback, we can then compare what you're sending us and the information that we have, so that we keep track up to the last one. Yeah. You were to go to, I think, the last question.
Yes, the last question I think refers to the internal capacity, internal skills within the Department of Defense. I think I agree with the honourable member that there is still a lot of work that we need to do to build the capacity within the Department of Defense itself. You remember that I think maybe last year or 2 years ago, we were talking about a certain green contract for the maintenance of aircraft in the Department of Defense of a company that was had a contract in the 70s or 80s and still ran the contract up to today. And that the Auditor General said this is irregular. So it meant that to implement the Auditor General's recommendations, we had to stop that contract. And we then indicated that those employees who were mostly white males, engineers and aircraft and so forth, have to come into the Department of Defense, those that we could utilize. But also, there was a lot of abuse into the system. There were too many people for a little work that they were doing. Maybe that time there were a lot of work that was being done, but now the fact of the matter is that we have right-sized into this level of a capacity that we needed. So it meant then that some of them have to be retrenched and some of them have to be maintained as members of the defense force. And because of the age analysis of that, it meant that they have to transfer skills internally. So it's not to say that we are just calling in the Cubans. Actually, the Cubans were called in to help us with the mechanical repairs of mostly their vehicles, but with the aircraft and everything else, still mostly with our South African community, whether they are black or white, mostly white. And the same thing with the ships as well. So it says when we bring in the Cubans, we bring them specific, zero in on an evidence-based, scientifically analyzed situation to say it would be more cost-effective to put them here and do this over this period of time for this amount of money. Start date, end date, and after that we move on to make sure that we have internal capacity that has been talked to.
All right. Thank you, sir. Honorable Le.
Thank you, Secretary of Defense, and others who have spoken. I'm not going to lead into this as others have done. Let me just go straight to the questions. We're running out of time. The contract that was cancelled, the forensic audit has been completed. Sufficient time has been given. It's now being implemented. Mr. Chairman, through you, could we please get a copy of that report? I understood from the AG.
Sorry, sir, could I just understand what Mr. Lees is saying? Could we get a copy of, when he says we get a copy of the report?
How does this work, Mr. Chairman?
No, I
didn't interrupt Comrade Vincent at all.
Okay.
That was it.
All right. No. I
all I'm saying, sir, I'm not interrupting
the,
you.
I think what he is referring to is the forensic audit report.
Okay. That's what I want to ask. That's what I want to ask.
Okay.
That's all.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. But Honorable Smith and I come from the same town, and we have very close common friends, so please don't think that we're fighting. No, not fighting, Mr. Chairman. I know the time is short. We come from a very special place. Guti Kona Mnambi Ngatele Bisnes. And Secretary, we are the Ikamalam. We'll leave it at that. Perhaps Faith at the back here can let everyone know what my name is. Mr. Chairman, the internal audit, according to the AG, there was a 3-year plan, implementation plan. So, I mean, we've had a lot of discussion about the internal audit. I don't really want to go into the detail now, but I'd like to know the progress of that plan. I understand from the Secretary that there's still shortfalls on skills and appointments and so on. Was that part of the plan? Mr. Chairman, the Secretary seems to be getting quite robust with his reply about the Cubans. But I wasn't going to raise it, but when the Secretary says they're coming to fix motor cars, then let me tell you, there are lots of unemployed mechanics and things in South Africa. How did we decide to employ Cubans as opposed to advertise, only advertise in South Africa and then not get the applicants we were looking for and then were forced to go the Cuban route? Or was there some executive decision that decided that we must just go the Cuban route, Mr. Chairman? The last one is the question of the asset, intangible asset register. It was promised by the end of this year that we now are looking at. But now it's been, I'm repeating what the AG has reported us, that it will be complete by the 31st of March this year. So that's, 28 days time. Can we have an assurance that that register is already done or will be completed by the end of this month? Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Secretary,
I'll be very brief and to the point. Like yes, no, yes, maybe.
not short.
The internal audit, we, as I've indicated, basically I would have liked to have about 35 people today as we are speaking. And we have about 21 out of 35. But I have given the internal audit leeway to say if you need to have short-term consultants in terms of capacity and training, but you are shortly, that with what we have right now, we are confident that when the Auditor General comes through, we'll be able now to realize that it is functional. But it's such a big department and there's such a backlog of work that needed to be done that I have to be realistic and say we are not exactly where we want to be. But I would like to assure the committee that we, within the internal audit, we are not going to have the same for this year, the same kind of comments that we had from the Auditor General. As far as the grievance is concerned, I can say that no, we have gone through this many times. We have run it over the last 3 years. We have had the contracts. We have had the BAE systems of the days. We have had various the man trucks, the N4 trucks. We have had all those people you mentioned, and they've been ripping off the department. I would pay 35,000 for the truck to move from Polokwane to come to Pretoria for repairs, and that truck wouldn't even be able to go back to bay into. I've had it with this. I'm telling you, I have got evidence of all the how they've been ripping off the system. They would say they're putting brakes, and all the they've done is just to spray the brakes, the whole brakes, the truck will fall apart before it can even get back. So I had to do something as a county office. I couldn't just sit and watch all of this investment and all the money that you so please. We are doing something and we're following the processes of the TFMA and everything else that we have at our disposal. When it comes to the internal intangible capital assets register, we're 35% down. I mean 95, I'm sorry. I almost choked. We are 95% down on the assets register of intangible assets in the Department of Defense.
And we have 28 days left. Are we going to
finish
the remaining 5%?
That means the remaining 5%. Most of the work is done. The remaining 5% is smooth sailing.
Okay. Yes, comrade.
Thank you, Chairperson. It's Fighter, not comrade. Chairperson, for me, it's my first meeting, so I think I would just want to also have my one friend of comments and questions towards the hearing. For me, Secretary, no matter how you're going to put the consultants and contractors, in which way you're going to put it, it will anyway come out to the same amount that you have used over that amount, say, the billions that you spent on consultants. So how are you going to beautify it? It will still come to that. So for me, my question to you, are you working hand in hand with the Department of Labor? Because I know they have an unemployment database, and you spend there on sensing and so forth. So I would have seen there are people on that database that could have done those jobs. And then you are shooting yourself in the foot here. You are shooting the government in the foot that are stating we should improve on we should create jobs. But you are not creating. Instead, you are using consultants. I think you have to find a way of minimizing your consultancy use on that regard. I think you did get the question, are you working hand in hand with the Department of Labor in the unemployment database? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. This is part of a larger project within the Department of Defense, which is the rejuvenation of the human resources within the Department of Defense, whereby we have already identified the people that within the Department of Defense we might they will be ready to be reskilled. We have a reskilled department that they can either go to other areas of the Department of Defense or to other departments as well. Others might have to go to the Correctional Service. Others might be going to the Department of Home Affairs to be running their immigration offices, so that we then, in rejuvenation, bring in the new people that will come in, both for the various... I think I fully agree. The main thing that I think keeps me awake even at night these days is that this usage of consultants, how best can we ensure that they're not used to do the work, as most of the this might be reflecting, but to train people. This I see the Department of Defense as an asset for this country in terms of training. We have major training capabilities within the Department of Defense. We are running, given enough time, I would have gone into the National Youth Program that we are running, where we bring in young people into what they call course-specific training program for the Department of Rural Rural Development and Land Reform. We've an excellent program that we are training about 1,200. More than 36,000 of the youth have gone through this program over the last three to five years. So basically, when we're engaging with the Cubans, they're not coming here to do the work to repair. They're not coming here as mechanics to repair the cars. They're coming here to train. They're coming to train our defense force to repair the cars. When they go back to Cuba, then the Department of Defense will be able to repair the cars themselves. We won't have to be going through all of these South African mechanical engineering companies that have caused me so much pain over the last 3 to 5 years.
All right. We have some 10 minutes or so before we move to the next.
But you see, what we wanted to be quite clear, quite clearly, that this government has got a responsibility to create jobs. And whatever you are saying about your Cuban friends and related to our people in the country, it's going to be a serious point of concern. So the one thing that you see, you are the only one informed to say to us, look, these people have repaired and these trucks are broken down. Maybe give us more information, you see, so that you can see if there's really serious. I mean, there's no skill to compare to what the troopers are going to do within our country. You must understand the other concern that I would have. Even those that are seated behind you, the military veterans, why are you not incorporating them to assist with some of these programs? So that your aggressiveness in wanting to spend around the Cubans can be an aggressiveness to assist the military veterans around this particular program. Maybe after some time you need to come back to us. We're not going to miss you. We will want to hear to come and account that how are you unfolding this particular program. Equally so, this writing up between yourself and the Auditor General, I do think, Chairperson, we need to get some understanding about this team of the consultants. We should, as Comrade Vincent has indicated, we should be able to engage both the department, I mean the Auditor General and yourself, to find a solution. Because part of our approach is not just to be critical, but it's also to resolve where there's interdepartmental, like, I don't want to say infight, but lack of understanding of how to do this. I hear what the chair is saying, but you see, it's nice to talk to us, but when you, why Vincent is concerned, that when you get to our constituencies, people who are getting the report even before us, they hear that the Defense Force is spending $30 billion on consultants. That impression is there in the public's eye, and we need to deal with it, even if what the chairperson is saying. We are very few here who are listening to you. But the problem already in the eyes of and in the mindset of the public is that you are spending too much on consultants. And for us to be able to reverse that, we need to deal with this matter quite pointedly. If it's, we'll have to talk to the Auditor General and find a solution of how we deal with this particular matter. Equally so with this intangible assets. We need to deal with that particular matter. What is it exactly that is going on? For us, a year back, we were doing very well. Now we are beginning to reverse again. And looking at the type of things that are making it to reverse, are not those huge ones that used to be the challenge. These ones that are here now. Sometimes they are recurring, and sometimes it's issues that I think we could be able to discuss and resolve them. But we should not leave it in the manner it did. Because when you come back here, you see what our one part is. When the defense review comes into implementation, you're going to get a lot of money. With all these gaps, we should be worried. So that's why that internal audit, I hear what the old man is saying there, but not convincing. The internal audit is supposed to be functioning, you see. It's supposed to be running. I hear what you are saying. But quite clearly, from where the Auditor General is seated, when they arrive, they expect books to be on the floor, properly outlined. If it's not working, we are going to come back in front of us. That we are not going to compromise. And because Comrade Vincent has put the tone, and that's the tone I'm working on. That you can't have the government departments that are not delivering. And it's worse with the defense, that you need to get to be a little bit streamlined and do your things quite properly. And that's part of our suggestions.
Okay. So, let's right. I think that's on page 145. I was saying page 145. Yeah, the last paragraph on the prior error, the restatement. That in your correction there was no supporting evidence for the correction. Why was it so? Where are we? Why was evidence not available? Where was this evidence? Where was evidence supposed to come from? And why did it not come? I see that part of your commitment to the Auditor General, if I heard correctly, is to improve on document management. What is the problem with document management? Because I suspect that requires more skill. Emphasize the importance of proper record keeping throughout DOD. There we are, lack of records. Maybe you can talk to that.
Thank you very much. But just as a comment, that when we were here last year, we were qualified on both tangible and intangible assets. And that there's been a major improvement since the last time that we appeared in front of this committee. Now in the Department of Defense, we had on over this period no qualifications on the tangible assets. It means that as the Department of Defense, we have been able to account right up to the last penny, maybe according to the samples that they've done, for the transport systems, for the weapon systems, for the immovable properties, and so forth. So the reason they've been able to do that is because we set up an asset management operational center there in Centurion, which the Auditor General visited and says that is actually one of the is a center of excellence when it comes to the asset management operation for the department to be able to account and get unqualified audit on the tangible assets. And then we're just left with these intangible, these things that you can't touch, which are very difficult to work with, to deal with the intellectual property. And the reason why we had difficulties with them, the reason we have difficulties with the supporting documents is because it is the AMSCO, the acquisition agency of the Department of Defense, that is the custodian of the intellectual property and the intangible assets. So the minister actually was very strong. I mean, the Auditor General will tell you. She was saying, how can we be qualified on something that is not even the responsibility of the Department of Defense? It is really the AMSCO that is supposed to be. And the reason why the documentation I talk about is that when we invest, because we invest a lot of money for the development of our weapon systems, some of them is among the best in the world, as you know. When we got the Gripens and the Hawks, and we have put in improvement systems there in those Gripens and Hawks, and some of these Gripens could never handle the missiles the way that we are handling the missiles. Even the people, the staff, are learning from us that for the next generation of Gripens, because remember, South Africa was the first country to buy Gripens outside the OEMs where it is based. We have put so much intellectual property on the management of the weapon systems, both within the helmet displays and the missiles and other weapon systems in these fighter aircraft, that the Auditor General was asking, where is the registry and the valuation? How much have we, and how much is it worth now? All what we have put into these systems, whether it's, and we have taken those missiles now, even that we have put in there, working with the NL, away even from the people, to put them in our ships, in our figures, and that even now in the process of getting into the infantry combat vehicles that we're developing under Wolf ASTA. So when we go to all of this, they are saying you should be able to see, to quantify the software, quantify the value of this software, and be able to put it in record into the record system. So all of this is the work that's supposed to be done by AMSCO. And when we ask AMSCO now to say, produce these documents, then that's where the Auditor General has struggled. And then, of course, they have to cite it on me, because I'm the one who give AMSCO the money. I don't do it, but the fact that I've given AMSCO the money, then that's why it's appearing in my books. But I'm still saying, Sistine Lady, it's not that fair, because really, these things are supposed to be in the books of AMSCO rather than to be in my books. But I will accept them, and I will do something about them. I've taken AMSCO now as part of our operational center. And we're now taking the workshop throughout AMSCO, throughout DNL, throughout the systems that we work with, that this is what we need to be registered in the intangible asset registry, and this is how it should be evaluated so that we can put value to it. So it means that the closing balance that we had last year has to be revised now, because once we have the full registry, so we have to go to the Auditor General and say, look, we have revised our closing balance as of last year in terms of the intangible assets. Now, when we come to the opening balance for this year's financial statements, please audit it and validate it and make sure that we are starting with this revised, restated opening balance on the intangible assets, so that we don't get qualified on the intangible assets this year.
No, that's fine. I hear your frustration, but like you've indicated, they are the custodian on your behalf. So it means you need to play a monitoring and supervisor role. It is not you who should keep them. Since they keep it for you, you need to have a way in which you monitor whether they do the right thing. Because if they don't do the right thing, there's nothing you can do when the Auditor General comes, because it depends on them. So I think it's more around monitoring on your part, on ensuring that they do the right thing. We would like to thank you very much, as we indicated in the beginning, that we come from far with the department in terms of the challenges that we have, and understanding and appreciating that is the Department of Defense. And as the Department of Defense, you will always have a lot of these challenges around certain things. But we were happy with the progress. proposals that have been made. We hope your internal audits, because it is there to assist you, ensure that a lot of the things that the Auditor General come to check have been checked, verified, confirmed, corrected before the Auditor General come. We hope that they will be out there and equal to the task. And I think the issue around consultants, you know, it's like irregular expenditure. Irregular expenditure does not necessarily mean that money has been wasted. But it's only when you now explain, and I'm sure educating our people is going to be a process. Like unauthorized expenditure does not necessarily mean that it is wrong until you go into the scenario. But I think what Comrade Vincent was saying, there's no way in which you'll never ever have consultants in government. It's not possible. Zero. Not possible. But what we're against is the ideology of consultants. The ideology of consultants, where you hardly have a state. It's no longer there. It's being run by corporate. Okay. You've seen the corporatization of democracy in America. You can see it in Europe. So we as the people, we're just nothing. I think that's the point. That's the point. Let's develop capacity. Even the SDP says so. A capable thing, it must have the capacity to do things ourselves. Right, comrades, can we have a 2 minute break? And when we come back, we'll look at the Department of Military Veteran. 2 minutes.
Yeah.
next door.
bonds fail, our engagement is not transition. On the Department of Military Veteran, we are companies.
Good afternoon, good morning, sir. Chair, you know I've got a big, big difficulty. But honestly speaking, what the Auditor General says here, he says he couldn't get anything. He couldn't, due to the status of the accounting record, when unable to obtain sufficient, appropriate, and audit evidence regarding the following. That means your irregular expenditure, your accruals, goods and services. So all these things, in a way, I don't know how the Auditor General was so skillful in detecting some, but practically, what they were saying is there was no books to be able to maintain this evidence, to be able to stand on its own. You see. Now, you see, we can endeavor to try to find out, because the Auditor General said that the COO was also absent throughout those processes. And he's been sick, he's been the last that I hear that he's sick. So practically, sir, the evidence that we have in front of us is a very challenging evidence that I'm not able to want to interpret in a manner that so for me it's been a very complex matter. That how do you deal with an environment where the leadership of the organization was not present in these forms of presentation that were done?
Okay.
Guidance from you.
I understand Comrade Boy's frustration, because if the audit opinion is a disclaimer, means that you have a total breakdown. Let me borrow the word broken. Things are broken. and what you find there is the challenge of two things. One is leadership, two is the absence of evidence. So every other issue that you raise will bring you back to those two challenges. So where do you start and where do you end? I think that's maybe let's go to the teaching. This is the situation that we have in front of us. The disclaimer, leadership, documentation. Things have broken down. What happened? Why? Why? I'm struggling. Comrade Vincent, I'm struggling to construct a question. I'm just saying, if you have a disclaimer, things have broken down. Now, when you want to ask questions, where do you start? Safe to say, you know that you have leadership challenges, you know that there is no documentary evidence. So the Auditor General cannot make an opinion. Maybe let me give the DG maybe to talk to that. Just maybe to situate that. What is this? What led to this? Why this? Then maybe we'll find our way into dealing with the issues that are there.